Very good evening, and thank you very much for tuning in to yet another episode of the Mari Podcast. I am your usual host, Kudzai. I want to thank you for coming through because you know that what we do here is simple. We help you make sound financial decisions. You can be able to visit our website, www.mari.co.zw, and you can be able to take a look or perhaps even listen to past podcasts, because only listening happens with podcasts, isn't it? Not take a look. But nevertheless, you can also be able to engage with us on Facebook and on Twitter on our handle at Mari Podcast. And last but not least, if you are listening to this podcast and you do not necessarily receive the broadcast straight into your WhatsApp inbox, you can request that by simply sending a message to 0772-191-288. Just write subscribe me and we'll send you links both to the broadcast groups as well as to the discussion group if you so choose to drink from the poison chalice. And you will know that for the past 2 days in this particular series, we have been looking first as an overview of managing money, of how you need to rework your finances in the Zimbabwean context, particularly because of the things we've experienced in under COVID-19 pandemic. But you also take note of the fact that we went on ahead and shared with you some very basic things to start with, which is financial planning. So it may make sense before you listen to this one to perhaps go back and look for the financial planning episode so that it sets a base and a foundation for that which we are building on in the next few days. Today we're going to focus on the income side of things, or for those that prefer very basic English, we would say earning. I did start by saying, highlighting in the very first episode, that no matter what happens in Zimbabwe, it could be a pandemic, it could be a change of government, it could be anything really. No matter what happens in the macro economy, in the broader economy, whatever happens outside, you know, Zimbabwe or inside Zimbabwe, the basics of managing money will not change. People will still need to make money. They will then have to spend that money in some way. They're going to save, they're going to invest. There's always things that are going to happen concerning money. So money will not stop. Let me start by saying this particular evening that it is important that we take a look at where the money itself comes from. So we cannot be going around thinking about planning money or spending money when we've not really started from the very logical first place, which is earning money or making some form of income or creating some form of income. And income is a very simple word to define income. Income. Come in income. We're basically saying that it is important that we understand how money is made before we even begin to talk about managing it, before we talk about saving or investing money or, you know, leveraging it through debt. We want to be certain how money is made. And I normally like to make reference to Robert Kiyosaki's Cash Flow Quadrant. And he's an American guy who, an author of a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I always say that I agree with him on many things, but I do depart with him on two things. One of which is the fact that he looks at a house and he says that, you know, your first house is always a liability. Not necessarily true if you're in Zimbabwe. We know the things that you and I are able to do with our first houses. So I know of houses where, you know, the owner is living at the back and people are living at the front and paying rental. So that would not be necessarily true, which is why you should not just read your Kiyosakis. Don't just read The Richest Man in Babylon. Don't just read stuff that's written by Vusi Tembekwayo from South Africa. You know, listen to folks like us and read the stuff that we Zimbabweans write, because we write for your context. So I just thought I'd plug in myself there, because one of my books is coming through certainly by the end of this lockdown period. I'm hoping by June would have shared that with you. But let me just say, I will make reference to Kiyosaki's work because it's got a very simple way of describing how we can be able to generate income. And so my second point of departure with him is, the point where he actually then says also that, you know, even a car is not an asset. Again, in Zimbabwe, this is quite different. And I'm sure by now, if we were to rewrite his book in the age of Uber, I'm sure he may rethink that definition. I know of people who have literally secured loans in Zimbabwe using a vehicle that is in their name. And so in as much as it is important that we read widely, always important that we take all of those things and bring them into a Zimbabwean context. That way we can be able to make sound financial decisions. So four things that he highlights, and this one will be a pretty short one, just to walk us through and to bring, you know, Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant within the Zimbabwean context. Now, he says there are four key ways of making money. The first is to be an employee. The second is to be a self-employed. The third is to be in business. And the last one is to be an investor. I normally like to add a fifth one myself, where I speak about money money that is coming from what I would call, you know, windfalls. So this could be a donation. This could be, you know, money that you receive because you are on someone's will and they've passed on, and then you receive it as inheritance money. It could be money that you're just given by someone out of pity, or it could be something that you just get, you know, because wanonga marimurod. So I like to call those windfalls. So I will add a fifth pillar there. Let me quickly explain these four pillars, or these four particular quadrants that he speaks of in his model, or the four aspects that are found in Kiyosaki's quadrant. The first way, which is very obvious, of making money is being an employee. And this one is easy for Zimbabweans. I think the average Zimbabwean is taught to go to school, do well, get a good job, you know, marry a wife or a husband, you know, have children, buy a car, go to holidays occasionally, get a house of your own. And if you're very lucky, perhaps a second one, you know, which is a holiday home, aka imbaye kumusha. Employee, very simple. What is an employee? It is someone who has a job. They do not own the job. It belongs to someone else. And therefore, what they're hoping to do at the end of every month is to receive a salary. Or if you're working in a place where you receive an income every week, then we would say you'd receive what is called a wage. And we know that there are pros and cons for each of these, you know, quadrants. In each of these quadrants, there are pros and cons. By being an employee, I would say the greatest advantage, all things being equal, is that you have a consistent income. Now, if you are in an economy that is in Zim, that may not necessarily be always true, but all things being equal across the rest of the world, or most places in the world, if someone shows up for work, they put in their time, their effort, they share their ideas, all of that, they are rewarded at the end of an agreed period with a salary or a wage. And so I do not personally despise a salary. I do not despise a consistent income. I do not despise any income, because it can be the basis for building wealth, because I know that many entrepreneurs started off as employees. And not only were they able to make savings from the money that they were working for, they were also able to make important contacts. So network, you walk away, you start your own thing, you've got important contacts from your past job. So don't despise a job on the basis that perhaps they're not paid as much as they should be. I know there are many skilled laborers in Zimbabwe who are not necessarily paid as much as they should be. But you will take note that in your work, you meet people. Again, you realize that in your work, you have an opportunity to make mistakes on someone else's dime. Hardly do you find people being fired for making a minor mistake. And that's an opportunity for you to be able to express yourself, try new things, be entrepreneurial, and you know that you've got some form of a safety net. And then, of course, last but not least, certainly, if you were to go out and launch out on your own in any way, you know that if you were to try any other of the ways of making money and they fail, if you've got a good job and you know that you're paid every month, then you've got a safety net. You've got something to run to. So do not despise that salary. Do not despise the payslip. Certainly that income will make some form of a difference in your life, even if it means buying 20 loaves of bread. It is better than nothing. Someone who has an income can be able to plan their life. They can be able to plan their level of living. You recall that yesterday we were speaking around financial planning. The root of that, really the basis, starts from saying, what income do I have? And then what am I going to do to move from where I am to where I want to be? And so any start is a good start. If you're an employee, I want to say that keep your job. Let me also say that there are people who are not necessarily entrepreneurial. In fact, the majority of us are not going to start businesses. But I want to say to those people who are employees, you still have other options of making money that we will soon describe. And you want to make sure that even from being an employee, do the best you can so that you optimize and you maximize and you excel as an employee. Be the best employee ever. Show up on time wearing a starched shirt, in empono, you know, and, you know, speak well to people, be well groomed. Go to school, get the necessary skills, stay abreast of the facts, be on the good side of your manager, and get mentors on the job and move up. I say this because I know that the average entrepreneur or the average small business owner or micro entrepreneur in Zimbabwe does not make as much as the average employee who is at a certain high level. So there are very rewarding jobs, folks, out there. I think even in Zimbabwe, we know of people who are executives, we know of people who are in NGOs, and those folk are going to make much more in a year than anyone may make in small business. And so Do not despise if your intention, your desire, your inclination is to do extremely well in your job, rise up in the ranks, then please do everything necessary to go there, remembering to be nice to everybody on the way up in case you meet them on your way down. So those are the pros of being an employee. The cons, of course, are quite obvious that if you're in Zimbabwe, you may not be certain, you know, in terms of job security, you're not even sure whether you'll be paid every month or whether you'll be paid on time. You may be paid on the 33rd of the month or on the 37th. Anything can happen and you may even get half. You're not too sure what salary you're going to get. They may be collecting United States dollars. They may pay you in Zimbabwe dollars. You have absolutely no guarantees in some of these really funny places. So that is a con. But I also want you to know that, you know, another con that is there is obviously the limitation of the amount of money that you will make. So if you really do the math in terms of the time you've put in, for many people, it may not look like it is worth it. And I want to say that it is true. If you feel an agitation and you're an employee, perhaps you may be entrepreneurially inclined and your time will come. Even Strive Masiwa was an employee at some point in time. So make use of the employee time and period and that income in some ways, but being cognizant of the fact that for the average job, which is not high level, there will always be limitations. Inonzi salary nekuti inosarira. Inonzi wage nekuti inoda kuwejerwa. There will always be limitations because you are an employee, especially at the low level. So moving on, the next way of making money is by being self-employed. And in this case, it is you that is owning a job. So an employee goes to someone else's job. They beg to apply and they say that they are willing to work all hours and they can work well under pressure until it actually comes to it. But the self-employed person is that person who has set up a job for themselves. And it's a job that they and only they do. When they stop working, the money stops coming, and already we are on the pros and the cons. I like to normally give an example. If I were to speak of an employee, someone could be a marketing manager what's that sweet shop? Pascal or Charon's, you know, in Zim. And then they decide, look, I'm making wonderful sales at this company. And, you know, for every $10,000 I sell, I'm only being paid $500 every month. So why not leave and just try and sell all by myself and see if I cannot make more than $500? The moment that person steps out and they're now in the business of buying and selling biscuits and sweets and chocolates all by themselves, we then say that person is self-employed. Yeah, I almost said that, but the last time I said that in a very big group of people, I had a lot of sniggers and giggles. So surely that can't be the right Shona. So if a self-employed person is basically that person who is doing a job all by themselves, no one hired them, no one can fire them. They've hired themselves, they can fire themselves. Again, there are pros and cons. What are the pros of self-employment? You basically can work at the rate that you want. You can start in the morning and be done by noon. You can start at noon and be done in the evening. You can work some days and not every day. But I think the greatest reward is the fact that everything you make goes straight into your pocket. That, of course, and the fact that your time is your own. That is the greatest pro for someone who is self-employed, that, you know, the resources of time and money are personally are somewhat limitless to the extent that you do the work. But then that points us also to the con or to the downside of being self-employed, where we are saying if you do not close a sale, unlike an employee, you do not have the safety net of a salary. And in as much as you may have flexibility of time, let me say many people who stepped out realize that they would do much, much more work by themselves than they would within the comfort of a company. There are lots of things that happen when you're within someone else's business that cushion you. For example, the administration is taken care of. There's someone at the reception. Where self-employed, you do everything all by yourself. You are the cleaner. You are the messenger. You are the maker. You are the deliverer. You are the accountant. You do everything. But it can be extremely fulfilling for that person who says, look, I like to do things at my own pace. The next way through which you can be able to make money is by being somebody who is in business. Now, you will find that there is a great error that is committed when many people say, I am self-employed. Many people who are self-employed then say, no, Mazwana, I'm doing this stuff all by myself, so I'm now in business. You know, see, the limitation of being self-employed is if you are a carpenter, if you are ill, if you are dead or dying, if you are traveling, if you are sleeping, the moment you stop doing the work, the money stops coming in. And so you realize that that is a great limitation for someone who is self-employed. Now, supposing that person who is self-employed our erstwhile marketing manager, who is now doing sales all by themselves, then realizes that they cannot be in four places at once. They cannot be selling in Mutare and selling also in Bulawayo and selling in Chegutu and in Harare at the same time. And they then decide to have other people who are doing small little branches, you know, micro entrepreneurs they are working with, and they give them the stock those people sell. That means our good guy can go to sleep, can travel, can be ill, can be dead or dying, and even though they are not physically present, the money is still coming in. And so that brings us to the definition of business. One who makes money from business is one who has set up a system and that system works for them. And so I want to say that it is important to recognize that what we call a business is someone who has set up a system. A child who, if schools were open, you know, who is selling sweets to their grade five stream because they're in grade five, is somewhat self-employed. But when they give one packet to a friend in grade 7 and another to a friend who is in grade 4, and those friends are simultaneously selling, and that fellow is making money while he is not even present, we then say that guy is now in business. He or she has set up a system and it is working for them. So you set up a system and you also have other people working for you. So those two things are key. For you to be able to say I'm in business, you must have a system you've set up and other people who are working for you so that income comes through whether you are there or not, which is a very obvious pro. I will say that the sky is the limit. If you're able to get your model right and you can upscale, you know, in a reasonable manner, you can make the money, provided you're not growing too quickly with huge costs as well. But the downside, of course, with business is as long as you introduce other people into a system, then there are a whole lot of costs that come through surveillance. Okay, not surveillance, but, you know, you want to just check on them to check that they are honest people, hiring the right team, getting the right team into place, training people, keeping them on board, keeping them happy. And then, you know, just running the risk yourself of macroeconomic policy that keeps changing. I mean, it's like being in Zimbabwe, running a business is tough. It's not easy. Things keep changing. If you look at just last year, and I said this to several platforms at the beginning of this year, like the price of fuel changed 16 times in 1 year, and there are only 12 months in a year. That means for every month, there was a change like 1.5 times of fuel prices. So try running a business in an environment like that. That's when you'll see that entrepreneurship is not for everybody. And so you can't be an entrepreneur and still want to whine. You can't whine about the behavior of the government. You can't even whine about the behavior of other businesses. You know, you can't whine about the fact that Econet is down, because those things happened thrice, I think, last year. I know one of the major times was in March. You know, Econet just was down for a day. The country was in disarray. I mean, and there was all sorts of noise about how it's a security risk. Could be true. But at the end of the day, what happens if those guys shut down forever? You want to be able to say to yourself, let me run a business where I am apt enough to be able to be nimble, to continue to change. And we'll talk about this sometime in the next week in a separate podcast, you know, around how if you're going to be running business, particularly in Zimbabwe, a dynamic environment like ours, you've just got to be nimble and quick on your feet. You just should have no energy or time to complain. You've just got to make sure that you keep pushing it, you keep working it, you keep redoing the business model, and you make sure that you are relevant for your time so that the money keeps coming into your pocket, regardless of how other people around you and institutions behave. So business, obviously, there is an opportunity to build a name for yourself, to be able to build a big brand. It can even go beyond borders if you so desire. It can be done. And so that is another way of making money. So let me say that any person who has set up a system, even if it means it's a tech shop, which you yourself do not work in, but you have someone who is selling on your behalf, yes, you are certainly in business. You can call yourself businessman, businesswoman, or if you're a boy, or business girl, depending on your age. Last but not least, under you know, Kiyosaki's quadrant is the investor. Investor is basically someone who has money working for them. And we've just come from Mother's Day. I was just so fascinated to see the tweets that people were sharing on Twitter as well as other social media platforms on that green up. You know, people were talking about several statements that their mothers would say. And amongst one of the things we know mothers, in particularly Zimbabwean mothers, are good at is sending people kutuma. So they would call you kudzi and you'd say ma. We are pano mwanangu. You go there and your mom says, enda kwa kati unita chakati ne chakati. Basically, an investor is someone who literally calls money and says, mari, yoti ma. We are pano mwanangu, tulakutuma kustoku market. And it, Unitachakati nechakati. Dokutuma ku money market. So an investor is someone who sends money to certain places where that money works for them. They are not physically present. More often than not, they have to do one initial major transaction. And thereafter, really, it's just to manage to make sure that things are in place. They continue to do the ins and outs to realize profit where they can. And basically, they make their money. So investments could be anything. You don't need to be a millionaire to be an investor. I know people right now are around or who are doing, you know, what you call investment clubs, and you circulate money amongst yourselves. Many of them have a trend now where when they put the money together, they then say amongst themselves, okay, there's 10 of us, we've put in $10, we have $100. Who wants to borrow? Someone borrows that money, they've got to return it with 25% on top. And so you realize that even that person, arimu round, you know, are in a round, are in a investment club, you know, where they are, you know, circulating money amongst themselves. At the end of the month, you then get your $10 plus the 25% on top. You sent money to make more money for you. So that is basically what an investor does. And you don't have to be a millionaire to do this. I say this because I said and I promised that I want to pitch these things for the ordinary person. Understand that there are many avenues of investment. We will do a particular session on investment where I'll talk about 10 different things that people can invest in Zimbabwe. And we are basically just saying, whenever you are seated somewhere and you deploy money to do the work for you and it comes back with more money, then we call you an investor. Granted, there are many other places like the capital markets. You know, we have a stock market, we have fixed income investments, there are microfinance investments like I've highlighted, there are foreign currency investments, there are biological assets, there's putting money in private equity in other people's businesses, a whole lot of different things that you and I could do in order to make sure our money gives us more money. And so these are the four key ways. And then, of course, the fifth, which I had said and described at the beginning, which is windfalls, where you're saying, unungwa no mari, yangaisina kurongiro. But we can't plan around that kind of money. When it comes, we want to be careful with it, but we cannot necessarily anticipate that such money will come. And so that is why we want to perhaps incline ourselves more towards these first four. Let me round up by saying, there is absolutely no rule that says you must be in only one quadrant at a time. Granted, many people progress in this way. They start off as employees, they get fed up, and then they say, look, I'm really good at my trade or what I do. Let me set up something by myself, and they do that as an individual. And then with time, the work overwhelms them, and they say, let me bring in other people to help me to make this thing grow. They set up a system, they deploy other people, and lo and behold, they are now in business. And then, of course, because you're making excess money and you've perhaps got more time because you're sending other people to work on your behalf, you can then say to yourself, what do I do with the cash I am generating? Let me reinvest in the business, but let me also begin to think around other things to put the money in, and that we call investment. I want to give you an example as I wind up of a certain young lady I worked with when I was a graduate trainee at what is now called Nedbank, and that was called at that time MBCA Bank some 15 years ago. When I walked into that bank as a graduate trainee, there was a young lady who was an employee and she was a teller at one of the branches at Jason Moyo Avenue. She was a single young lady and living all by herself and obviously getting a decent salary because she was at a bank. So number one, her first level of income or way of earning was being an employee with a salary that would come without fail on the 20th. In fact, by the 19th of the month, you would see the money hanging in the system, value date 20, and by midnight, the money would be ready to spend. That was an employee. But at the same time, that same young lady owned a house in Glenview. When banking was still banking and people had access to loans, she had been able to secure a house for herself, and she did the wise thing and said to herself, look, let me not wait until I have money to go to Glenloan. She bought herself a house in Glenview, and she said, look, as long as there is a Glen, we are on the way. And in that six-roomed house, she was staying all by herself, and the rest of the rooms she had put in, you know, in two or three of the rooms, she had put in some lodgers just so that she would have company, but also she'd be able to make some money, which initially was to help her pay off, you know, her mortgage. But with time, once that had been paid off, that became a source of additional income. So she was also an investor. At the same time, the same lady had also set up a tuck shop at her house. And so while she was at the bank working, someone was deployed to sell candles, because at that time we had power problems, paraffin, you know, sugar, salt, bread, eggs, milk, you know, the things that people just want kuma location, kuma ghetto. Things that are easy to buy, you know, quick, when I'm a putava, when shops are already closed. So she was then running that as a business, simple tuck shop, and that was working as well. Of course, later on, last but not least, she was good at doing people's hair. So on the weekends, when she was not working at the bank, or when she was not working on Saturdays because she was at the branch after work, sometimes she would do people's hair just to make additional income. Later on in the years, she became a crossbred. So sometimes she'd take a few days off, you know, go once a month, bring in things like Colgate, etc., and start selling them, and also to stock up some things in her, you know, tuck shop. I'm always asked this question whenever I say this story of this young lady. I'm sorry, she's already taken. She's already married now, back to Maima twins. So this is an example of an ordinary fair person who is making money in four different ways. And I'm pausing there so that you and I can reflect and appreciate that we don't necessarily we need to wait until we have millions before we can begin to have more than one stream of income. It is possible for us to move from being employees to then become self-employed and then be an investor and in business. But it is also possible that you can have two or three of these streams of income at one time. Now, it is up to you to pick your poison. It is up to you to think around the ones that you are inclined and excited about and to excel in that particular quadrant. What I want to leave with you as a parting shot, and I know that the weather has begun to change as we begin to enter winter officially in Zimbabwe, I want you to recall the parable of the two-in-one blanket. Why is it so cold? It is so cold because it is not just one blanket. Someone thought and said, look, what if we took two blankets and combined them so that they have double the warmth, but also the aesthetics are great on both sides of the blanket? And we will call that blanket a two-in-one. A two-in-one will always do more in terms of aesthetics as well as warmth than a one-in-one. And so my challenge to you this evening is to say, sit down and begin to reflect, how many streams of income do you have? And therefore, and thereafter, begin to think around how you can be able to increase your streams of income. Perhaps another thing to reflect on, particularly in this period where many of us are working from home, is to say, is there a way of making whatever you intend to do digital? Because where we are going, we need to think very strongly around being an employee who is a remote worker, being a self-employed someone, a freelancer who is a remote worker, working online, doing business that can also be present at work using online and the opportunity of the internet, and investing also using the opportunity of the internet. So all of us in every quadrant must really think long and hard about how we can become digital. And here is a final idea and a thought. Now, Kiyosaki does not necessarily say this, but here is my reflection on that. What if you were able to make streams of income within the same quadrant? How about you be self-employed in two or three different places? How about you run one or two different businesses? How about you invest in four different things? Ultimately, at the end of the day, it is to say, what is your makeup? What is your inclination? What do you have energy and excitement for? And you deploy yourself in that direction, starting from whatever money you are making, from whatever stream of income. The aim and the desire is to have absolutely more than one stream of income. Here is a living example as we conclude. There are people who were employees whose salaries were halved because of the period we're in. And many of them right now are able to lean on some things that they were doing in terms of self-employment. Or alternatively, some of them had invested in property. But we know what happened with property and landlords, isn't it? Those that had invested also on the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange are smiling because they're able to liquidate something very quickly and have a very soft landing under this period we're in. So think around the streams of income and begin to decide from today that you'll have more than one stream of income flowing in your direction. Cheers.